B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Thanks for the call, brother. I think if anything...
He wanted to pick my brain.
Right, that was what he wanted to pick your brain with.
No, he had a different question.
Really?
Yeah, he hung
up. Oh, I thought I wanted to pick Trey's brain. I thought that's what it was.
No, it wasn't just about the energy.
Oh, damn, I'm sorry.
He wanted to also answer... Wanted me to answer a question for
about
me.
Muffins.
May have been about some pumpkin.
Scott's going to ask if you know the Muffin Man.
Possibly.
In all seriousness, Scott, my most humble apologies, my friend.
We hang out with the Keebler Elves.
I thought that was the...
And the treehouse.
Six ones.
All kinds of delicious snacks.
We'll get them. Scott, you call back, my friend.
Fudge stripes.
My apologies.
Absolutely.
I legit feel bad now.
Nah.
Like my day's ruined.
I'll have to
eat another muffin now to make myself feel better.
A little guilt eating.
All right. You're listening to 975 The Fanatic WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Finally, we can talk some X's and O's with our man, Rod Jaworski, who's on the line with us right now. Rod, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mark, Trey, Bob, as usual. Fantastic being with you guys, especially when it's Dallas week. It's special.
Now, I hear now that most people, it is about the Giants and it is about the Cowboys when it comes to the rivalry. But I've heard more people talk about the Giants as something that's becoming a bigger rivalry. To you, when you were playing, Jaws, was it always just focusing in on the Cowboys?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
In fact, I had Dick Vermeil on my show Wednesday night. We're out at the Downingtown Country Club. And we spent a lot of time talking about that rivalry. And quite honestly, I think Dick Vermeil had a lot to do with it in that era. You know, he came to Philly in 1976. And, I came to Philadelphia in 1977. And after 1 year, to me, it was obvious that the focus of the Eagles program under Dick Vermeil in that era was the Dallas Cowboys. And he explained rightfully so because, Tom Landry was their head coach. I mean, they were America's team, coined by Steve Sable over at NFL Films. I mean, they were a winning football team. And he kind of knew that if we were going to be a championship team, we had to beat the Dallas Cowboys. So he was obsessed with the Cowboys, obsessed with Tom Landry. And because of his obsession, we became obsessed, the city became obsessed, and it became Dallas Week twice a year.
It certainly seemed like that, and that's kind of what I grew up with, knowing that kind of rivalry in Philadelphia between the Eagles and the Cowboys, obviously, and then going down to Dallas as many times I've been down there. There's that sense that they more rely on that Redskins rivalry, but the Eagles fans have only increased the venom that goes on in these games, which is just wild to me. Now, as far as I have to ask you about this report from Jacina Anderson. Because it's yet another stupid report of drama in the locker room, and I hate bringing it up during Dallas week, but another person came out and basically criticized Carson Wentz's play calling, if you will, his ability to check out of a play or check down in a play. What do you make of locker room drama when there's no name on it?
It's unacceptable, and I've always been a big believer. You're entitled to say anything you want, but autograph it. Put your name on it, not unnamed source. It's all the stuff we deal with now in sports and politics. People aren't willing to stand up and have a backbone and say, hey, yeah, here's what I think, here's what I believe. So they use an unnamed source to get their feelings out there. And I think it's absolutely atrocious. If you want to say something, man up and say it and put your name on it.
What do you think has been the problem with this Eagles offense? We don't think it's Carson Wentz is the number one problem. We think he's far from it. But they haven't scored a point in the first quarter on the road this season, which just seems like their awful starts are only magnified on the road. What do you think has been the problem?
It really is mind-boggling because, you look at this team and, I am still convinced this is a very talented football team. Now, they have not played up to their talent. There is absolutely no question about that. And I think your star players, must begin to play better. And you said, hey, although Carson Wentz, I think, is having a very good season, the bar is raised when you're given $100 million and the expectations go way up. And there comes a point where you got to put a team on your back and make those very special plays. And he has to step up and begin to make those plays. He has been a slow starter. I mean, his first quarter and the Eagles' first quarter, everyone in this city knows how bad they've started football games. In fact, in talking to Coach Vermeil on Wednesday, we said, what do you do when you get in a situation like this? You say, take the field like you're down 14-0. Create that sense of urgency in your football team, your quarterback, and your offense. So everyone has – you know, ideas that they think the Eagles should use to get started fast. But I think clearly this team is talented enough where they shouldn't have these issues in the first quarter. But they have to solve them or they're going to be in big trouble in Dallas.
Jost, do you get the feeling, and we've heard this from many callers and people we talk to around the city, that the offense is kind of vanilla and predictable and just kind of in a little bit of a bubble, you know, right now as far as how it's being run? Are you seeing that? And if so, is it because of talent, lack thereof, or because of play calling?
I do not see this being kind of a stale, uncreative offense. I don't. I look at the tape, I look at the design, I see what they're trying to do. Sometimes it's not accomplished because the defense takes things away or mistakes are made by offensive personnel. But I at least see the design of, hey, trying to get the ball down the field, of using the screen game, of using the draw game, using, you know, the trap game, the power game, the gap running, the zone running, all the different ways that, as Trey knows, you try to move the football. There's a lot of ways to do it. And I'm not seeing a predictable style of offense. I'm just not seeing it. But if there's one thing I would like to see, it's more getting these tight ends involved early in the football games. You know, the way the wide receiving core is not getting the big plays, I think there's some opportunities from the tight ends getting the ball deeper down the field. So I think the explosive plays are going to have to come from, you know, not Sanders coming out of the backfield against man-to-man coverage. And by the way, Carson has done a great job in those situations of audibling and setting the offense up for success when he's reading that man coverage and getting Sanders matched to the linebacker. But I think the explosive plays need to come from these tight ends. We have advantages with these guys. They are excellent receivers, and they can run.
So when you say that when it comes to audibling, should it be better that they just go ahead and give him a play and then allow him to just make whatever situations changes that he needs to at the line? Possibly to run like more of a no-huddle type of situation?
Yeah, I think go to that speed offense, you know, like you're in the final 2 minutes and say, all right, let's go. And sometimes what that does, you know, Trey, you and I lined up an awful long time. We know how players are. They're thinking about this stuff. You know, all that garbage, like they don't read the papers and watch the news. They do. we know that. They know what people are saying. And all of a sudden you're in the game and you start thinking about everything. You start thinking about your job. All of a sudden if you go, hey, let's go 2 minute offense, speed offense, we're not huddling, all of a sudden things are happening really quick. They're happening really fast. All of a sudden your trigger is now, let's go, let's go, let's go. You're not thinking about your job. You're just reacting to what the defense does. I think that's the kind of thing they should do against the Cowboys.
Ron, I don't want to ask you this question. I battled with whether or not I should ask you this question, but I do feel the question I'm about to ask you is the dumbest question you'll ever be asked. All right?
Oh, no, I've been asked a lot of
questions. Oh, no, I might win a trophy here. But as I'm thinking about talking to you and people are having an issue with the quarterback, I'm not even talking about leadership. I'm just saying people that do want to criticize Carson Wentz, I think a lot of it is dismissed because you have so many receivers dropping passes, the most in the NFL. That's what Eagles receivers have done this year. Is there anything Carson Wentz can do to throw a more catchable ball, I guess? Like, I don't know. Like, I know I'm grasping at straws, and I'm sorry, Ron Jaworski.
I hear you, Mark. I hear you. You know, yeah, I'm going to throw it softer to you. Hey, I'm going to land in there nice and easy, like, making a long handoff. Hell, you're a damn wide receiver. You're paid a lot of damn money to catch the ball. Catch the damn football when I throw it to you.
Thank you.
I can't take that nice person approach. You're an NFL wide receiver. Every single day you're catching hundreds of footballs. You're going to that jugs machine. You're staying after practice. Catch the damn football. It's that simple. The quarterback can do nothing but put the ball on you and you're supposed to make the catch.
What do you think this does to the locker room, though, when you have this type of situation going on, especially going into a big game like this?
It's troubling. You know that. You get a cancer in the locker room, someone that's talking to whoever, Josina Anderson or whatever media person they are wired into, that can fracture a locker room. And the guys and coaching staff figured out really quick who the guys are that are the guys that like to talk a little bit off the record. And, you know, all of a sudden you start getting strange looks from guys in the locker room. Yeah, that's the guy. That's the mole. Here's the guy talking about other players on the team. And I think it's something that Doug has to nip in the bud very quickly, or this could become infectious, and it's not good.
Ron, when it comes to this matchup, speaking with Ron Jaworski, what do you need to see from the Eagles when they take on the Cowboys on Sunday if they are going to win this game?
Yeah, I'm going to make it really simple, guys. You have to make Dak Prescott hold on to the football. You know, I think Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. He's not, he's probably a mid-tier quarterback, but he's the kind of guy, as I've watched him throughout his career thus far, if he gets his number one receiver open, he is outstanding. In other words, you know, if the offensive coordinator calls a play, and that coordinator being Kellen Moore, the young guy who's done a really good job with this team, but he's not a veteran-type play caller. So if he designs a play and calls a play and the intended receiver is open, Dak Prescott is really good. If the defense takes away that number one and forces him to go to 2, 3, and then maybe even scramble, he's a very mediocre quarterback. So I think in this game, coverage will be critical, and the pass rush must come from the down four. I don't want to see Schwartzy blitz in this game. I just don't. I don't want to see him blitz. When I break this tape down Monday, I want to see very few blitzes. This is just my opinion. If they get the pressure with the down four, especially if Collins and Smith, their left and right tackle, are going to be out in this game, hey, this is an opportunity. Hey, get the front four amped up. Play coverage. Keep 7, keep 8 in coverage, and make Dak hold on to football. That's when his performance drops.
Charles, we've seen the numbers that Dak is far better when Ezekiel Elliott runs for more than 75 yards. Is it that simple? Is it a case of that the run really does help set him up to play better?
Yeah, I had a guy named Wilbur Montgomery in the backfield when I
played. One of my favorite Eagles of all time.
Hey, how could he not be? And when Wilbur was healthy, I was really good. And if Wilbert wasn't out there, I wasn't as good. that ability to stick the ball out makes it easy to play quarterback. It just opens up the entire football field. When you can make a linebacker, a safety, freeze for just one step, one split second, you know, peering into the backfield to see if you're going to run the football, man, it opens up the play action pass game. It opens up big voids in the defense. So I think, you know, when you look at Dallas, their offense, if they're going to be successful, has to run through Ezekiel Elliott, and we must stop him early in this game.
How much of a threat do you see that Cowboy defense at this point in the season?
This has probably been one of the biggest surprises to me this NFL season. They have, you know, not played up to their ability. When I was looking at rosters, you know, coming into the season, I'm saying, ooh, I mean, this Dallas team is pretty darn good. They've got players, particularly on this defensive side of the football, you know, young players that can get after it. And as the season has worn on, their defense has not played up to what I thought their expectations, at least their talent level, was. So, but you know what's going to happen Sunday night. We're going to get their best shot. They're going to be all amped up. Hey, they got absolutely embarrassed last week. They, you know, the Eagles were had a rough game, but they weren't embarrassed like the Cowboys were losing to the lowly New York Jets. So, you know what's going to happen. You know what it's like in Dallas this week. I mean, those guys are getting chewed out. They're getting ripped. They're getting shredded. You name it. It's all happened. So the Eagles will get the Dallas Cowboys' best shot. And, of course, the Eagles they're hearing it from Doug and the coaching staff this week, too, because it was an awful performance in Minneapolis last week.
Before we get your official prediction, Ron, I just got to tell you this. I got invited to play Ramblewood, I think, on the 2nd for a little golf tournament. I had my brother's 40th birthday. I can't do it. And I played it the last year. It's my favorite one, man. That's a beautiful course.
No, it is in fantastic shape. My people there have done an outstanding job. I was on the course the other day. I wasn't playing. I'm working too hard right now. But it is in great, great shape. So, hey, and by the way, here's this cool thing I do. If anyone is looking to play golf on Sunday, you go to any Ron Jaworski golf course, and $5 of your greens fee goes to Pink Roses and Teal Magnolias, which is we fight breast cancer. So we raise a lot of money. And to me, to even cap it off, if a guy wears a dress, we donate $10 for the round to Pink Roses and Teal Magnolias. So it's kind of a fun fundraising day, and we'll raise thousands of dollars to fight breast cancer.
Wait, whoa. If I show up in a dress, you guys will donate. Wait, go ahead.
If you show up in a dress, $10 goes to fight cancer.
And do I have to do I have to play the round in a dress?
No, you don't have to play it. You have to show up.
Oh, okay.
Hey, now, if you want to, that's okay.
Yeah, I think Mark was hoping you had a different answer for him.
I was just thinking that.
Well, we don't frown upon it.
That'd be another turn. I'd even get $10 for that. Come on now. Ron, that's incredible. What was the charity again?
It's Pink Roses and Teal Magnolias. It's to fight breast cancer awareness. So my wife is a survivor, so it's a way that we decided to at our golf clubs to give back and and raise as much money as possible. So if you're looking to play golf Sunday, go to a Ron Jaworski course and help kick ass on breast.
And hey, the Eagles have the night game, Sunday Night Football. So we'll have Fred Gadelli on with us a little bit later in the show.
Oh, Freddie's my buddy. Tell him I said hey.
I absolutely will. I had the pleasure, Jamie and I both had the pleasure of working for him for about 11 years, man. It's wild. Now, official prediction for Eagles Cowboys on Sunday night.
Here is the official prediction. Eagles 30, Cowboys 28.
Oh, another close one, Ron.
Of course.
Of course. Ron Jaworski, always great talking to you, man. Thanks so much for that breakdown. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Okay, so what are you guys doing Sunday? Running around a bit? Maybe we have a couple holes on Sunday? Show up in dresses? Get some money?
I'll give $20 towards the foundation if you don't wear a dress.
So you'll cover my fee, I guess. You'll cover the expense there. All right, we got Mike and Delran. We got Graf. We got some heavy hitters coming up here after Ron Jaworski. Dissect a little bit more of what he had to say coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
We just got, all right, here, I'm retweeting this right now. Jamie, let's retweet Ron Jaworski Golf, because he just put out the thing they're doing to benefit fighting breast cancer.
Got it.
All right. So they said, you guys at 97.5 Mornings can wear a dress or play a round of golf in a dress if you'd like, and we'll donate for every greens free. We will donate from every greens fee for pink roses and teal magnolias this Sunday, October 20th, at all our signature courses. So that's pretty cool right there.
Does that have to be a dress? Can I wear like a golf skirt? Would that be okay?
I think that works.
How about a pantsuit? Can I do a pantsuit?
The lady golf outfits, nice items.
They are quality. Oh, yeah. It's the only time I ever wish Celeste like golfed.
My thing is, you got to find me a big chick. In the South, we call that thick, though.
A thick?
Oh, yeah. I believe they say thicker than a bowl of oatmeal, Trey.
Thicker than cold peanut butter.
I will say, did your moms do this? My mom still has her dresses from, like, the 80s. Like, she's still got, like, she hasn't donated them yet.
Shoulder pads?
Yeah. Yeah, like, she doesn't wear them, but they're still in the closet. Like, I know
she's in the closet.
Let me out of this closet.
What?
Like,
why?
I don't know. My mom's not like a hoarder or anything, but she just still has like the old school dresses. Because I'll ask every once in a while. Because when we were kids.
Is she waiting for them to like come back in style?
Fashion comes back around.
Yeah,
man.
It always does.
Exactly. I don't know. She just has
a little floral print and lace.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah.
Shoulder pads.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly one of the dresses she has. Yeah, exactly. Well, minus the lace. It's just the shoulder pads and the floral print.
She saves the lace.
What was with that? Ladies, let me ask you this. What was with that in the 80s real quick? The shoulder pad dress things going on there?
Oh, they had dead shoulder pads in the guy's suits, too.
But why was it?
Want to look a little bulkier.
But I understand for a guy, the women.
It was the 80s.
Like, I remember I loved the 80s on VH1. They interviewed some of the ladies that would wear it, and they're like, yeah, we wanted to look like linebackers, evidently. Like, I don't get it.
Put a neck roll on, some eye black. There you go. Let's get it.
But what was it? The streamer? Trailer, whatever it's called?
Put a little streamer on. Let's go.
Mike Delran, what's up, buddy?
Nah, babe, that long black one you wore to my cousin's wedding. Oh, sorry. Hey, listen. I got advice for all the Dallas fans that are listening right now.
All right.
I need you to get in your car. I need you to drive to your closest 3-lane highway. I need you to pull over on the side of the road and run suicides back and forth all the time. Go play in traffic, you scumbag.
Oh, come on, Michael.
We're going to go down there, and we're going to beat the brakes off that team. You know why?
Why is that?
Because my buddies that I tailgate with and watch all the games with are going to be down there. They're leaving Saturday morning. And I would be there if I didn't decide to have a child 14 years later after I had my last one. But let me tell you something. We're going to go down there. We're going to beat the brakes off them. We're going to kick the crap out of them because they suck.
Dallas sucks. Dakota Prescott's going to look like Dakota Fanning by the time that game's over. And I can't wait next week to talk trash all week to those Dallas scumbag Cowboy fans that piss me off.
E-A-G-L-E-S-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L
Uh-huh.
No, not out of worry.
Oh,
this
no?
This is actually a good thing.
Oh, okay.
But it's,
I'll go
but
to
it's,
the worry when you're done with
okay.
the good thing.
Because it's just different than what we've been seeing over the last couple of weeks. Instead of Jim Schwartz blitzing as much as he has since week one, being that he doesn't have the same defensive line, being that he's been able to send the house on blitzes, whatever it might be, I don't want him doing that in this game. I want Dak to have to go through those progressions. I don't want to flush him out of the pocket where he is dangerous, can make plays with his legs, much like Carson can, right? I don't want that to happen. I want him to sit back there, take as much time as he might need without the defensive line getting in his face yet, and making that mistake on a throw when his first read is gone. Because that's what Ron highlighted for us. Ron Jaworski said just moments ago with us, you take away that first read, and like any quarterback, there's a dip in production. But with Dak, it's drastically lessened his quarterback rating. It goes down drastically when he doesn't have that first read to go to. So if they take that away and they sit back in coverage, maybe you can force him into a turnover or two. That's what I want to see.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see
can
the aggressive.
I, small question.
Yes, but I'm just saying I don't want to see the aggressive defense that we've seen before.
What corner on this team makes you believe that they can take away their first read?
No single corner.
Okay.
But if they're in nickel, if they're dropping back, and they're just saying, all right, go ahead, run Ezekiel Elliott, you know, 30 times in this game, whatever it might be, then, all right, at least they'll try to keep things in front of them. At least they'll have the guys waiting there to tackle them.
Oh, that's what they were supposed to do against Minnesota, keep things in front of them until Stephon Diggs decided to blow past Rasul Douglas three or four times. Uh-huh. Yeah, I just got nervous when you asked Jaws, what's the key to the game? And he said, the Eagles' corners have to. I was like, gulp. Gulp.
But Jalen Mills is back. Ronald Darby. Less Russell Look, Douglas.
I hear you. Maybe different
bodies.
Maybe different bodies are a good thing. I don't know. Like I said, last thing I remember of Jalen Mills was 505 yards against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Ronald Darby was the other starter that day, too.
Yeah, and we had that quarterback that didn't cause drama, Nick Foles, you know what I'm saying? This guy, Carson Wentz, causing drama all the time.
Yeah, this is such a weird week. I was saying to Jamie in the 5 o'clock, you pour over all the information, you go over things as we do when we're not on the air, and you try to form a feeling. I can't. For some reason, I just don't have a feeling for this game. And I think a lot of us are there. I think it's a lot of the reason why I think the hype of this game hasn't really been there like it's been in the past.
We had a lessened Cowboy week, I believe.
Yes, I agree.
And a lot of that was because there was a big hangover from losing to the Vikings, the way they lost to the Vikings. They had a story on Tuesday with releasing Zach Brown, or Monday with releasing Zach Brown, so we talked about that. And then Jalen Ramsey losing out on the Jalen Ramsey sweepstakes.
Right.
And now this BS drama coming out of the locker room about
good
how
points.
Like it's just a weird week. It's as much as you just want to focus on how important the game is, which it is, just the X's and O's of it. And not to mention, you're playing the Cowboys in prime time for first place. And all this other stuff is a distraction from the task at hand, which is they have to beat the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Graf Media, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
So I don't think you're that good of a quarterback if the game plan is for you to have to be the quarterback.
That's a fine point. I believe the term Ron Jaworski used was that Dak Prescott is a middle-of-the-road quarterback. When he has to throw to his second target, he's even worse than that.
Well, my favorite part of that, too, was Ron Jaworski also admitting the same thing by saying he relied on Wilbur Montgomery rely on Zeke. But, I don't know, I think the game plan really should be for Dak to have to keep the ball in his hand, especially if Amari Cooper is not going to be on the field. And I think our corners, I mean, you know, they get beat deep, but I feel like if Jalen Mills comes back, at least we have a red zone corner that we can probably rely on a little bit. But I guess I got questions for you. The first one is, if you guys decide that you want to donate $10 a piece to that charity, I'll show up wearing a dress and I'll play an entire round in it. So that's up to you.
Oh, there you go. Look at that.
But that, well, I mean, I don't know if anybody wants to see me addressed, but hey.
I definitely don't, but I do like helping charity, so there you go.
Maybe we just put some money
all right, well, maybe we'll
do that.
Yeah, chill on it, boys. But anyway, I have a question. Do you think if the birds come out here, like, at what point, how much of a win do they have to win by in order for Jason Garrett's job to go in question? Basically, just for them to kick him out of town. Do you think that would happen in any way, shape, or form? If it's like a total blowout, maybe?
Like 50? Like, in all honesty, I don't think Jason Garrett is, like, in boiling hot water right now in Dallas.
Really?
And here's something interesting. And I'll tell you why, Graf, because I did Quick Slants the other night with Derek Gunn, and we had Nui Scruggs on from NBC Sports Radio in Dallas. And he made a great analogy. He said right now the relationship between Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones is that of a guy who is with a girl. And this girl takes advantage of the guy left and right, talks bad to him. She's mean to him. She's nasty to him. But no one can tell that guy that because he's like, no, you don't know what it's like when it's just the two of us. Like that kind of thing. That's the kind of relationship Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones have. No one else can see how bad it is amongst those two. But everyone else is like, dude, Jerry, you got to get out of this relationship. And he's like, no, but we love each other. Like, you don't know. Like, that's kind of the relationship that he described Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones having.
Oh, sounds like she's doing some freaky things.
Yeah, right. She has this trick that she does with a tongue.
Do you guys think the fan base down there in Dallas is in the same kind of boat that we are? I feel like part of Philly's slightly panicking. Is Dallas feeling the same way?
I would think so. I mean, their three wins are against the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins.
Jeez, man.
I mean...
Yeah, but there you go. Look at the team. Okay, I like to look at it this way, too. Like, look at a team like the New England Patriots. How do you think they feel in Boston right now with that lame schedule that they get to play every single year? Are they confident?
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to... You think so? You think they're confident?
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
Do I think the Patriots are confident? Yes, absolutely. Dallas? I don't know. Dallas just lost to the Jets. So there's, they're in a must-win situation as well. But here's the thing. Here's what's different, though. You have a story coming out right now in Philly about Carson Wentz and turmoil in the locker room and all that BS drama. And you have a story in Dallas about Dak reining things in. Like right now, the story is that Carson has turmoil in the locker room, while the story in Dallas is Dak is cracking the whip.
Which is insane to me, right? Because I know I got to get off the phone here. But anyway, let's just think about this, right? If Carson Wentz had not had as many drops in that Detroit and Falcons game, he would probably have somewhere around like 19-3 interceptions and probably 1,700 yards and 5-1. Yeah. Right? You go into Minnesota, you lose that game. We don't care because we're 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you hear these articles come out, like the whole thing has to be a joke at this point. I can't even imagine that someone would honestly say such a thing. And also, thanks for the backhanded compliment there, whoever you are, calling him Peyton Manning in some fashion.
Yeah, so weird.
And you should be thankful that you have someone like Peyton Manning or as smart as him on your squad. The whole thing is absurd. And Trey, are captains gonna rein this in a little bit? Like, can we expect Malcolm Jenkins to say something? Or is this whole thing just gonna be blown over? Like, okay, whatever it was said. What's happening in the locker room right now? And you guys have a great morning, weekend, and a great Friday.
Thanks,
you have
buddy.
A better one, Graf.
Back at you, buddy.
I think this is definitely going to have to be addressed as a group. You're going to have to, like, hey, man, you know, what's going on here? But what if it's one of the captains that's saying it? What if it's one of your leaders on the team that's saying it?
Then how the hell are you a captain?
I know, but I'm just saying, what if it's one of the leaders one of the guys that is perceived to be a leader on the squad is the one that's going to Jocena? Because this isn't a rookie.
No.
This isn't someone that's not out there on the field battling. This is someone that's out there going at it every week that feels like, you know what, hey, man, Carson's the problem.
If you're Carson Wentz, I think the best way to handle anything like this is head on.
Yeah.
You have to, like, I give him all the credit in the world when stories came out about him last year and again this year. He was a guy taking people to dinner. He was looking in the mirror and all that. And who knows? Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's the greatest actor in the world. Maybe he's just the worst person who could ever be a teammate. But I don't think he's that guy. I think he might be misunderstood by some teammates, but if that's the case, Jamie, the point you made earlier about Carson Wentz walking in the locker room and just saying, all right, who's got a problem?
Yeah.
I'll be in this room for the next hour.
Yeah.
Come see me.
I got a cup of coffee. I'm ready to talk. Keep this in-house. Let's hash it out.
A bottle of Hennessy. Like, yeah. Time to eat dinner. Let's all just hang out.
Was it Louis XIII he bought?
Some Louis XIII. But I'm like, wait. I mean, what do you want him to do? What do you need him to do?
What more can he do?
What more
right.
can he do?
I don't know, yeah. but it's a recurring problem now.
He doesn't have to be your bestie. I mean, the man has all kind. He is the leader of the team, and he's out there battling his ass off and has the biggest, the most drops in the NFL. Has a receiving corps that has the most drops in the NFL. So if anything, he's probably like, man, look at these asses I got out here, man. That's not catching the damn ball for me. He could go out there and talk bad about his player, yeah. but he's not.
Yeah, I think he's come to a crossroads now, and it's not even his doing. So Marcus Hayes has a story in the Daily News Inquirer today about how Dak Prescott, like Graf said, and you also did, Mark, how he's calling out his teammates now. Hey, we're not good enough. We're not working hard enough. You know, I'm here every day working hard, but I see other guys in our, like, he's calling guys uh-huh. out. He's showing himself to be that leader. Well, now might be the time where Carson Wentz has to do that too. Come in, maybe even to the media, and say, yeah, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to find out who's saying stuff, and I'm going to find out what's meant by it. And I'm going to find out what they, you know, exactly their thought process was to go to a reporter as opposed to talking to me. Maybe it's time for him to be a hard ass and call out some teammates. It doesn't seem to be his nature from what we've seen so far, but if he's going to be that leader or continue to be that leader, maybe this is the next step. And it's probably going to be really uncomfortable for him, but it might be a necessity right now.
And the other thing that's interesting about this is that Dak Prescott doesn't have $107.9 million attached to his name right now.
Right, exactly.
Carson, if anyone has the right to speak, and you better believe I'm going to be heard, it's the guy that the franchise has invested that much guaranteed money in. Because yeah. guess what? I ain't going anywhere. Last time I checked, you weren't in triple figures. That's what I'm looking at right now. Dak Prescott's not that guy who's getting the triple figures and all that right now. He's still going out and saying that. He doesn't have the clout that Carson Wentz does in that locker room.
Yeah.
Just by the money standard right now. You talk about career-wise, yeah, Dak, to this point, hasn't missed a game. He's 4-2 against the Eagles in his career, and he's also won a playoff game.
Right.
So maybe he carries a little bit more cachet in his own clubhouse, his own locker room, than Carson Wentz does right now, which is unfortunate. 610-632-0975.
I had a great text real quick from a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, do we want Jason Garrett fired?
Hey.
Like Graham said, what can they do to get him fired? You don't want him fired.
Well, you know what? I know we can make that joke, but they've had our number.
No question. Yes, 4 out of the last 6.
Yeah, so that's another unfortunate thing. 610-632-0975. We got Dan in Harleysville. Open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear Josina Anderson again, right from the horse's mouth, so to speak, coming up in a few. And then about 8:15 today, we'll be joined by Sunday Night Football producer for NBC, Mr. Fred Gadelli, to walk us through the big storylines of this game, both obviously here in Philadelphia as to what they'll be focusing on at NBC, as well as what's going on down in Dallas. Time of the Fanatic is 7:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Yeah. Sorry, that? I don't know. I'm clearing my throat.
Okay.
Thank you again for my awesome Low Touch jersey. Number 72.
Yeah, man.
We'll tweet out a photo of that. Speaking of Twitter, Sam Wilson, let's get an update on our Twitter poll, please.
So we have 2 polls this morning.
We have a poll, and then we got a side poll.
And we have a side poll.
Yeah.
And they're brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. So our original typical Friday poll is, will the Eagles beat the Cowboys on Sunday night?
Mm.
We have just under 1,800 votes so far. 79% say yes.
79% are confident they'll win the game. Okay.
Correct. And then our side poll, which is attached to that.
Side poll.
Do you think the Eagles locker room respects Carson Wentz?
Mm.
And we have just under 1,200 votes so far on that. 77% say yes, that they do.
Okay. All right. That's good. Because I don't want the fans buying into this, but it's out there. And why is it out there, Bob? Because Josina Anderson, she's got a source. And Josina Anderson went on NFL Live yesterday and started stirring the pot a wee bit when it came to Carson Wentz. Now, this is what, story number four?
From her?
No, just on people. Oh, well, the first one was from her.
Oh, okay.
In the middle of last year.
Right.
About too many people, about Carson Wentz targeting Zach Ertz too much.
Mm-hmm.
That was story number one last year. The end of the story then was Joe Santoliquito's article on Philly Voice. Then this year, well, then actually Carson Wentz followed up with that story. So then that was a third story about Carson's leadership. And then our own Tim McManus wrote a story about it as well for ESPN.com. And then Jeff McClain of the Inquirer also wrote a story. Five stories on Carson Wentz's leadership in the locker room and what kind of quarterback he is. What the hell?
I don't know.
So here's the latest.
I don't get it.
Now we're at six. So Josina Anderson yesterday. Here she is on NFL Live talking about one source in the Eagles locker room talking about Carson.
Okay, let's talk some Philly here. What's this team saying about some of the struggles they've had? They've had injuries, but what have they been telling you?
Well, with the team being 3-3, obviously the Eagles source also talked to me about how they feel like that offense is functioning. One of the things that they said is, we need to make bleep simpler. Okay, sometimes we just need to handle what is manageable. They said even Peyton Manning knew when to check it down.
I don't know what that means. Does it mean that whoever is saying this, their interpretation of Peyton Manning was that he would throw the ball downfield all the time? Like, no, he knew when to check it down. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It also doesn't make any sense to me that I don't think this offense has a check down problem. If anything, they don't stretch the field enough. They are checking down too much. So why criticize not checking it down when that's the vast majority of what you're doing as an offense?
Yeah.
So that's why my mind went to, did something get lost in translation? Because that makes so little sense. Then the only thing that makes sense is that there was something lost in translation, and it didn't mean check down. It meant checking out of a play.
But here's the weird thing. So I would assume this is how it goes, because if I was still a reporter, this is how it would go with me. If I'm texting a player and they say that, I go back and they say something more, and then I say, hey, can I use this? Now, in my case, it would have been print. With Josina's case, it's on television. Can I use this? Are you cool if I quote this? The player then, I would assume, looks back over it and says, yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh. I don't think Josina Anderson's reading a text message on TV without letting the player know that's what she's going to do.
I would agree with that.
So this player looked it over again before saying, yeah, go ahead, and thought it was okay?
Evidently. Like, I'll say this.
Like, not only okay in the sense of, okay, that's going to hurt the team, but okay in the sense of, it doesn't make sense.
Right. This guy, Charles, hits me up a lot on Twitter throughout the show, and he's a good tweeter and all that. He's saying, well, so you're buying the Josina Anderson thing? Like, I would have to think pretty low of a reporter to just make something up.
No,
right?
This is coming from somewhere. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. You don't get to Josina Anderson's position by making stuff up.
Right.
No.
That's what I don't buy into.
No.
So I buy into that this is coming from a legit source in the Eagles locker room. I wish it wasn't. I wish it was made up and we don't have to worry about this. But where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's been smoke multiple times from Josina Anderson about this Eagles locker room. And last year was a lot more justified because it did seem like he was targeting Zach Ertz too much, right? Whatever you want to say about that. But this year, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of credence to it. To say that you're going to complain about, stretching the field too much, essentially? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
All right, let's get to Dan in Harleysville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
So I came to a realization, like, I don't know how this season's going to shake out because I'm not, you know, obviously, I have no idea. But I'm officially very concerned for the future. And I'm starting to come to think that is it possible that Howie Roseman is not a good GM and he had one good fluky year where everything kind of fell into place with some free agent signings and Nick Foles getting possessed by, you know, Joe Montana and they won a Super Bowl and it covers up a lot of his flaws? Is it possible?
Sure. Yes, it is possible.
Okay, because that's my fear. Because I was looking at, like, the 2017 draft class
that he put together.
Uh-huh.
It's terrible. Like, it's terrible. Like, your best pick is probably Nate Gary in the fifth round.
Ugh.
Like, yeah, like Derek Barnett, yeah, he's a starter, but guess what? He's a 12th pick in the draft or something like that. I need more out of a 12th pick in the draft. Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, Mac Hollins, Donnell Pumphrey, Shelton Gibson. I mean, like, that's a murderer's row of terrible players.
I was looking it over 2 days ago. I appreciate you catching yourself. But I was looking it over, and yeah, the thing with Derek Barnett, though, is I know everyone's looking at sacks, and for me, if you're a DN taking that high in the draft, then you better get some sacks. But you are beating the man in front of you. The ball's already gone. So that tells me that you have a secondary problem before you have a defensive line problem.
Well, yeah, but then until you look at his picks, Rasul Douglas in the third round and Sidney Jones, obviously Sidney Jones in the second round, you know, they can get on the field, but they're at best average and most likely below average. Like, you cannot miss on these second and third round picks over and over and over and over again. Like, even a fourth round pick like Donnell Pumphrey, like, no one in the whole league thought they could play, that he could play.
Mm.
And they drafted up to get, or they moved up to get him. Like, that's not what a good GM does. I feel like maybe he's just a guy that should be working on signing players and free agents and money. And I don't. He might be like a money guy.
So bring back Chip Kelly.
No.
Joe Banner. Dan, thanks for the call. Yeah, right. Like, you bring back someone to manage that, right? But no, you already have that guy with Howie. Like, I think Howie is phenomenal about wheeling and dealing in the trades, and I think he's good at working the salary cap. The thing that we have struggled with in Philadelphia and watching is the draft.
Yeah.
That has been the biggest thing. And the most indicting thing is, if you do go back to that 2017 draft, and as Dan mentioned a second ago, Donnell Pumphrey, your second pick in the fourth round that year, you had two picks in the fourth round. You had Mac Hollins, and then about, I don't know, 14 draft picks later, you had Donnell Pumphrey.
Yeah. Yeah, Mac Collins would much rather
play special teams. You had special teamer Mac Collins,
yes.
And then you picked now XFLer Donnell Pumphrey.
Seventh round.
Who was in the seventh round of the XFL draft.
Yeah.
You took him fourth.
Yeah.
XFL took him in the seventh round.
Yeah,
XFL GMs, better evaluating talent.
How many picks do they have in their draft?
4,872.
Okay, so it's like an MLB draft.
Well, and they also cut it... Or they split it with skilled players versus, like, linemen, I think. No, no offense. No offense.
Say what now?
They had, like, a skilled position draft.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's how they divided it, is it not? I'm pretty sure that's how they divided it.
I think so.
Skilled position, and then they had, like, you know, I don't think they called it non-skill. I think they just called it the big sexies.
Yeah, that's cool.
By the way, did you hear Lane Johnson say that offensive lineman's not a sexy position?
Oh, it's not. It's gritty. It's a gritty position. Come out there snot flailing.
I don't know. I've been listening to you, bro. You know, telling me it's a sexy position.
Just go out there and you just be nasty. It's a nasty position.
It is nasty.
Yeah, you want to punch people in the face.
That's
what you do. You got to be aggressive. You're a bully.
Real quick, I have to tell you, this Flag Football Friday on The Fanatic is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.